Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken eight, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad under bad tape, bad lot, bad dude, bad bread, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. Ooh. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do better. Oh, my friend Nick, I'm around, flat to party. Oh, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, it's time to tatter. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com like Shep did and save 15% in less than 15 minutes on his car insurance. He got it all done and accomplished. Chris Domino will join us from the Fan in Atlanta at 1040 East, 740 West, 11 East, 8 West. Landry Locker does middays on 610 in Houston. We'll talk to him. Because the Astros are getting their ass beat tonight, and they're going to play on Thursday night in Game 5 at Minute Maid, and that'll be that. As Verlander got rocked tonight. I can't even believe it. Can you? And then the Texans, we'll talk about them and whatever the hell else we want. 11 Eastern. 12 midnight in the Billy Idol Hour of Love, 9 West. Our buddy Kyle Turley joins us, the former NFL badass lineman and now running his own CBD company out in California. Yeah. Right now, Tampa up 4-0 in that game. They pounced on Verlander. And it's been 11 hits of just total domination. I have to say, they are the biggest phony fans in the world down there. Who are you kidding? You never go to a game ever, and then you show up for these two games and act like you are like fans or something? Like, I don't even know what you are. You're fake. They never, ever go to their games, right? That place has 5,000 people in it every night. It's an absolute disaster playing there. When you play there, you just hate your life.
Full tonight.
Oh, of course it's full tonight. You know what it reminds me of? When the Marlins played the Yankees in the World Series, they drew 5,000 a game that season, too. And then when they made it to the World Series, Hard Rock was sold out. I don't know what the hell it was called then. Joe Robbie or something. All I know is they beat the Yankees and their fans... The minute they won, it was a big party, and then they went right back to never going again. It's really, it's embarrassing, right? Like, you're phony fans. You're not real fans. You're just, I don't even know. What are you there because it's a playoff game or something? That's what it is. It's like, oh, we'll show up. We're bandwagon when they're in the playoffs. The rest of the year, we don't give a rat's ass about them. So we got game fives tomorrow. Go figure, Yankee sweep, and then they'll have 3 game fives. Does that not seem sketchy to anybody that every one of them goes 5 when you're facing the a team, the Dodgers, that won 7 straight division titles, been to the World Series twice in a row? Meanwhile, they can't win. I mean, what is the problem? Then, I mean, honestly, it was disastrous against the Nationals. Now, the other team, the Braves and Cardinals, they're going 5. But the other one is the Astros. No one can beat them. Best rotation in baseball. They're unbeatable. Every single guy that comes on this show.
It's over. It's done.
A to Z said they're winning the World Series. Scott Miller, all of them. There's no way anyone can beat them. Meanwhile, tonight they look like pansies, don't they? They just look like pushovers.
Yeah, it's not their night. Verlander was not good. He has not done this hardly ever. Start on 3 days rest.
He's done it now.
Yeah, he's done it now, and it didn't go very well for them. Look, I think it kind of just shows you how close things really are in baseball this year. I know that the Dodgers blew the National League away, but they've been in the World Series. What is it? 3 years in a row?
Two.
2 years in a row? They're going for 3. You know, somebody was talking about this today. The law of averages. They're going to make three World Series in a row? I mean, you'd think maybe this would be a year. Maybe they could get picked off. You know,
what about the Astros? Can you imagine if the Rays beat them and the Yankees play them?
I mean, that would be just a crazy turn of events, considering for the past like 3 or 4 months, all anybody has talked about is a Yankee-Astro ALCS. Just bottom line, it's going to happen.
But you can't bet against Gerrit Cole in
not,
Game 5.
I will not. Honestly, if you're a Yankee fan, them just playing on Thursday night is a win for you. Because it's going to mess them up for the next round.
For Saturday.
Now they're going to have to pitch Greinke on Saturday, you know, which they don't want to do. They wanted to pitch Cole or Verlander on Saturday. Now they're going to have to pitch Greinke in Game 1.
You're right, and he got lit up his last outing.
And now you'd have to pitch Verlander in Game 2. Cole wouldn't then pitch till Game 3 in New York. So, and he was not good in Fenway last year against the Sox in the ALCS. So that's where I want Cole. I want him in Yankee Stadium, not in Houston.
A day after the Redskins fired Jay Gruden and rumors swirl about Mike Tomlin being the target, Tomlin said today he's not worried about it, to be honest. Is this now going to become a Steeler distraction all year? I say, what does it matter? Who cares if it's a distraction? The season's over. I mean, they're finished at 1-4. It's over.
Right,
so what
right.
does it matter if it's a distraction?
But I think that's going to – but it's going to – kind of maybe heighten it a little bit more, because there's going to be nothing else to talk about because the team's going to be so bad. It's every week it's going to be painful.
Well, that's going to get real boring.
Is Tomlin going to leave? You know, that's going to be the painful talk for the whole year if you're in Pittsburgh.
And that's just boring. After being out since week one with mono and an enlarged Ferrella spleen, the Jets will finally get Sam Darnold back against the Cowboys at MetLife on Sunday. Finally, Sam Darnold will be playing. I mean, the bottom line is that he sure is a star in this town. He reminds me of the Dark Knight. They treat him like he's some celebrity, like he's Joe Namath. Meanwhile, he really hasn't done anything since he's been up, has he? Since he's been in the NFL, he's done absolutely nothing. He lost.
Zero.
He was terrible. He lost. He threw a ton of interceptions. And what did he do? And this year, he gets mono? Like, honestly, what is next with this guy? Seriously. We got a lot to do tonight, including college football. We'll talk about not only because we didn't really get into a lot of the games last night. We talked about it very briefly, but we also have we talked about the top 25 teams. How about the worst teams in college football? Why don't we do that tonight? We can make fun of some people.
Rutgers is always at the top of that list, so I love them.
I don't even know if they're on the list now.
They have to be.
They are. They are on the list. You're right. They're on the list. All right. So we'll do that as well. And Pain Day, we got all the games this week that are coming up, including the Pats Giants on Thursday night in Foxborough. Aaron Hicks says he's ready to return to the roster. Are they going to let him? Same with CeCe. Are they going to let him?
I kind of like what you got going right now. I don't know how much you really want to get involved with all that.
How about the A's? Rob Manfred, the commissioner, says the A's could move to Vegas if the city of Oakland doesn't drop their lawsuit. John Gruden on Jay's firing. Welcome to the club, bro. Everybody gets fired in the NFL. I got all your candidates to replace him besides Tomlin. And, of course, the Steelers had more news than that. Jalen Samuels out a month after a knee scope. Barkley unlikely to play against the Pats. Is that true, Carver High, that Barkley's not going to play?
I mean, it seems like there's a chance that Barkley, Shepard's already out, Ingram, like the Giants. I mean, who's Jones going to be throwing a rock to on Thursday night? Golden Tate, and that's it? I mean, that could be a real ugly scene Thursday night in Foxborough.
Really? Yeah, he has no one to throw it to.
He's got no weapons. Everybody's out.
Rob Gronkowski is going to Fox Sports. He's going to be on the NFL on Fox.
I'm sure they'll find some dopey segment to put him in, right? You know,
yeah.
Some kind of zany bit. You think they'll have a zany bit for Rob on the pregame show?
I think he's starting Thursday night.
A little zany bit for him? What do you think?
Send him right to Fox.
Serious Gronk or zany bit Gronk? What do you think we'll get?
How about a little of both?
If you're using Gronk, it's got to be something zany, right? You have to go zany.
Like a zany radio bit?
Has to be.
Who's the third best team in the AFC? The Pats and Chiefs are the best. Is that true?
Allegedly.
Yeah. One quarterback, did you see this, that you'd want to win a game with? Who would that be? Gee, you think Tom Brady? Power rankings in the NFL. We'll do that tonight. We'll look at the Week 7's biggest games in college football, including Oklahoma and Texas. Jalen Hurts doesn't seem phased heading into his first Red River rivalry. Say that 30 times on a bottle of Belvedere. Shake out. Ooh. LSU hoping to get three key pieces back for their matchup with Florida. James Blackman going to start for Florida State against Clemson College. Power rankings tonight. And the biggest obstacle for all the teams trying to make the playoffs. Mike Lang night tonight in Pittsburgh. The legendary Penguins play-by-play announcer. One of my childhood heroes, Mike Lang. Buy Sam a drink and get his dog one, too. Major kudos out to one of my mentors and favorite people in the world, Mike Lang. Sharks bring back Patty Marleau. He's 100. We got your fan base update in the hockey league there, Carver High. You don't agree with any of that, but we're going to do
dopey
it
dopey
anyway.
Fan poll that they did on NBC?
Dopey fan poll. We got another zany dopey fan poll bit. And NHL power rankings, Mark Few, the coach, right? You know, the good college basketball coach. Isn't he at Gonzaga? He is going after Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. Told him to stay in his lane. Stay in your lane, bro. KD says playing for the Knicks is not cool, and he's not playing this year. That also is not cool. Adam Silver heading to Shanghai on a PR mission from God. And we got some Adesanya, John Jones smack talk going on tonight on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so the candidates to allegedly replace Jay Gruden in D.C. I have to say, do you remember when, going back a couple of years, Shep, you remember when I called him a fat ass?
And yeah, everyone remembers.
It was because he had left. You remember RG3 in that Detroit preseason game? And he let that guy just get mauled. Do you remember that? Like that night that he just literally, I don't care what anybody says, he left that guy in a meaningless, like, preseason game. Like, absolutely zero meaning to it. And you leave him in there to get just obliterated. Do you remember he just got nailed time and time again? He was just getting just absolutely savagely attacked in the pocket, right? And I'm just sitting there going, what kind of a jerk does that? And then I laced into him and called him a fat ass, right? And then he got all mad and responded, and then it turned into like, do you remember it was like a national story that I had, you know, slammed him, and then he in turn didn't like that I called him a fat ass and that he didn't like me to begin with. And then, but the truth of the matter is this, is that I actually, what I wanted to say was, in the end, and I've said this a couple times, Carver, how you remember, I think he looks a lot better. I mean, I think he did a great job of trimming down and getting his health back in order in terms of, I think he looks like, you know, he's trim, he looks like he's in decent shape, and he looks a lot better than when he was a fat ass. Do you know what I mean? I don't even think he's a fat ass anymore.
No, he's not.
So I took that back. Like a year or two ago, I said I take it back. He's not a fat ass anymore. Now Freddie Kitchens is my fat ass. Right? He's just moved right in there and settled right in as the commander in chief of fat assness. So, but then again, I put a picture of him on the treadmill every day when I go to the gym and I run. I just keep running like Forrest Gump towards away from his fatness. And he doesn't win, which is another problem. So I just wanted to say that. So anyway, I don't have anything against Jay Gruden. I really don't. In fact, I hope he gets a job with his brother so that they can be miserable together. Kevin O'Connell is being mentioned as a replacement for Gruden. He's in the building.
He's one of their offensive geniuses, right?
Yeah, this guy, are you kidding me? They have no offense, so scratch him off the list. You just can't hire him. I don't care. If they hire him, they've gone 10 years back. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, the reason why they, you know, that Snyder and Allen will probably look inside is because they've seen guys who are in their building, specifically Sean McVay, go and become geniuses out on other teams.
Kevin O'Connell's going to do that?
Well, you listen, they're looking at it as we could have had Sean McVay. We had him sitting right here in our building.
But we were too stupid to figure
it out. And we let him go to the Rams.
So they are not good judges of character or talent evaluators, let's face
facts. Of course they're not.
Even Jay Gruden says they have no talent. Like, he basically said, we don't have any, you know, he's got no groceries to cook the dinner with. The old line, Parcells, you know, they just absolutely have no talent. So Tomlin's on the list. Eric Bieniemy, he's with the Chiefs. Remember Eric Bieniemy? He was great in college.
Yes, he's actually been a really good coordinator for the Chiefs, learning under Andy Reid.
Didn't he play at Colorado or something like that?
I believe so.
Todd Bowles is also being considered.
Can you imagine that? I mean, giving that guy another head coaching job after the job he did at the Jets?
Can you? I mean, honestly, there should be a point where when you suck so bad that what they should do is just flush you down the toilet like Pete Franklin back in the day. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Pete Franklin is a legendary radio host who I used to work with in San Francisco at KNBR. He used to work here at the Fan at the very beginning. They couldn't handle him here in New York because he would go on the air and he would flush people down the toilet. Do you remember? He'd just always flush people down the toilet. I loved it. I thought he was great. And he was insane. And I really liked the guy a lot. But honestly, Todd Bowles should be flushed down the toilet. If you're a terrible coach, right, and you've already been atrocious, you shouldn't be allowed, in my opinion, to be recycled. You should be sent in a vacuum into another world, like a like on Flash and on Arrow. You have a situation where there's other worlds. There's like Earth 2, Earth 90. There's all these different Earths, right? Different planets. I think failed coaches should be forced into a abyss. Send them to the end of the line. You know what I'm saying? Like, they should be sent away so that we don't ever have to deal with them again. They should be sent to Eradicatedville.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it should take a guy a while if he failed at his first job before he gets another crack.
He should be now, an there automatic are guys, assistant from that for five more years.
There are guys who their second time around became great at it. Case in point, Bill Belichick. I mean, in Cleveland, he wasn't great.
Right.
Went back with Bill with the Jets and then eventually got the New England job again and became the greatest coach in NFL history. Pete Carroll was with the Jets. Went back to college forever and won championships at USC. Came back to the NFL, and he was great. You know, sometimes it works out, but there's a couple other times where guys have gotten, you know, second and third cracks where, like, they never did anything.
Terrible. How about Brian Daboll? He's with the Bills.
Yeah, you see, I saw that, and I just can't figure that out yet. Like,
who is that?
Like, I think he needs – and he's been good. He's, you know, he's developing Allen, and he's calling a better game this year, but – if anything, it would be the guy running the Bills' defense, Leslie Frazier, who I would rather get my hands on right now.
Wasn't he a coach already?
He was. Now, he's a guy who did
have... Was he the Vikings?
Who was he? He wasn't awful. He was with the Vikings. He wasn't awful. But now he's, you know, rebuilt the defense in Buffalo. He maybe is going to be in line for another shot.
Or maybe he's just a great defensive coordinator and he should stick
with
that.
Which happens a lot as well.
Can't you have that job and keep it for 10, 15 years instead of a five-year run as a head coach and then you're sent into oblivion where people treat you bad at airports?
I mean, look
at... Can I get a picture with your coach?
Look at your guy. Look at your guy in Pittsburgh, right? I mean, Dick LeBeau wasn't a great head coach, right?
No.
But he was one hell of a defensive coordinator, one of the greatest of all time, wasn't he?
Right.
But he just wasn't great when he got that shot to be a head coach.
Chris Richard, Cowboys defensive passing game coordinator, whatever the hell that is. And then they also have on this list Sean McVay. Good luck with that. Kyle Shanahan, not happening. Josh McDaniels. God, I've heard about this guy getting so many head coaching jobs for the last 10 years. I can't stand it anymore. I just don't really want that to happen ever. Because we've heard about this guy. Do you remember when he took didn't he take the Colts job and 5 minutes later changed his mind? He shouldn't be allowed to be a head coach.
You know who did that?
Who?
Bill Belichick. Same exact thing.
Yeah, I'll take it and then see you later.
Yes. How ironic is that?
Lincoln Riley's been mentioned as well, and Jim Harbaugh gets mentioned for every job. He's also in the running for the presidency He's going to get every job on earth.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's joining. Everybody knows it. PharrellOnTheBench.com rules. It's the best site for picks. All the college football and pro snags are posted for this week's games. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. There's tons of action, literally, almost every day. Baseball through the playoffs, hockey nightly, boxing, MMA, every fight. Hoops coming soon right around the corner. Try it. You'll love it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today and hide the money from your wife. It's important. Because she will take it, believe me, you. So anyway, Chris D'Amino, we ran into him in Lipstick City. He was out doing the Spence fight. It was good to see him and Mr. Cellini doing their show on the road for the fights. I know they've done that before. I think he had done the Pacquiao Thurman fight. I didn't see him there that week when I was there. You saw him. I didn't see him. But it was good to see you in L.A. there, Chris.
We got a hell of a fight, too, Scott.
It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And that atmosphere, I had no idea what to expect. I'd never been in that building for anything. And not only did they pack it out, but it was a fight crowd. Like, there are certain nights just who wants to be seen. It was a real fight crowd that night.
It was great. I've been there for fights. I was there for Wilder Fury. And, you know, I've been there for everything. Hockey, Stanley Cup Finals, NBA, Laker games. It's 20 years old, that building, but it was raucous there that night. And how about how Spence, you know, that was a great fight. He knocked him out in the 11th and then won it in a split decision. But now my buddy Bud Crawford is calling him out today, saying that he's wearing panties and that he's afraid to sign the contract because he's afraid of him. Who do you like in a Crawford-Spence fight?
I really like Crawford. I like the idea that he's firing the first shot. You know, boxing needs more. All the time. Why do we root for anything? We need a white hat, black hat, pick a side. Either rooting for somebody or you're rooting against somebody. So if this guy decides at the end of the day, I got to be the one to start it and I got to start getting lippy, perfect. And look, there's nothing better than boxing. You know, baseball talk is nonsense. Mostly football talk is nonsense. If you start talking to boxing, you got to take it. I mean, you got to stand in the middle of the ring or somebody's going to find you in a corner. And if somebody's really hacked off about it, they really get to fire blows. It's not like all these other sports where you get to hide behind things. And Boston, if you decide that you're going to get a little mouthy, there's an opportunity for somebody to shut you up pretty quick.
Yeah, I love it. Chris D'Amino with us from The Fan in Atlanta. All right, so Fultonavich against, who's he facing?
Flaherty.
Oh, Flaherty. Yeah, Flaherty's favored at -110 in that game tomorrow. And then I just, you know, there's something, two things. One, the Cardinals never lose in playoff series. As you know, they've won 11 world championships, whatever it is. And then the Braves have had their fair share of problems. But I have to tell you, for some reason, despite Goldschmidt and Ozuna, I think that the real bats are on the Braves. Like, these guys, Albies and Acuna, are so dangerous, and Freeman. I mean, that lineup with their bats, like, how can they not get this done tomorrow? I mean, honest to God.
Yeah, so here's the number. The Braves haven't won a postseason series in 18 years. 26 other teams have won at least a wild card game, if not a full-blown series. That's how long it's been for Atlanta. And by the way, St. Louis has won 15 times over that 18-year stretch. So if you're going by recent history, and I don't like to, you know, I'm not going to kill the son for the sin of the father. As Brian Snicker keeps saying, this team lost last year. That's the only one they're responsible for. And it was a better Dodger team. Last year they were happy to be here. It was sort of like, hey, we get to go to the party. This year they had the velvet rope move. They got a real raised letter invitation. They earned their right to this one. Here's the problem. Flaherty, obviously, the .91 ERA in the second half, third or fourth best in the history of the game. He was that good, but they beat him once. Fultonavich was phenomenal in his last start. I mean, this is a guy who goes down to the minor leagues, not because he was physically off, because he was mentally off when he's come back up and pitched really well.
Really?
But yeah, the middle of the lineup for the Braves has just been atrocious, though. It's been Freeman, Markakis, Donaldson, and Brian McCann, all hitting below .200, and Freddie Freeman was really unrecognizable in game four. You know, it's one thing to have an 0-for-5. It's one thing, three punch outs. That's happened to even the best in baseball. But it was just the way he looked. Ronald Acuna had four hits in that game and didn't score one run. The problem for St. Louis has been the top of the lineup, Pham and Wong, although Wong hits the big double and all of a sudden he gets driven in. Goldschmidt and Ozuna are certainly beastly. The Braves' middle of the lineup has got to do something a little bit more. I can't rely on Cobb. I can't rely on Dansby Swanson hitting A's, and I do think he'll get moved up to win this game. You know, unless you see a classic, one more time, pitching matchup, 3-2 game, and boy, it's hard to get those. They've already had really 1.5 of those in the series in 4 games. It's been the only series where the game-winning or tying run has been at the plate every game in the last at-bat. That's so not baseball anymore. Somebody usually finds an 8-2 win in one of these series. It hasn't happened yet. I'm rooting like hell that Mike Foltynewicz has one more. And, you know, Flaherty, if it's a 3-run game for him and that's all you get off him, you're really going to tax the bullpen as well as Foltynewicz in this one tomorrow.
So, tell me what happened. Go back to the game when Swanson and, the ninth inning rally that they pulled off with 2 outs to win the game. Yeah. And because he did get involved. And if they could get that guy going, you know, more than just 2 guys, get 4 guys going and making Duvall, anyone else that could chip in and do something, their chances go up.
Yeah, look, they hit a bunch of home runs. Not as many as the Twins, not as many as the Yankees, but certainly more than we've seen around here in a long time. It's Donaldson is the guy to me that could, with one swing, turn the whole thing. He's the 3-run home run guy more than Marquez, even more than Freddie right now, more than McCann or anybody else. Tyler Flowers behind the plate. 1 hitting, 8 hitting is not a great recipe to win a series. And the crazy part about it is St. Louis has they've been the best defensive team in baseball, and nobody's even been close this year. They tried to give away game 1 and game 4. They were awful, awful in this last game, and those are the 2 games they lost. You lost 1-4. When they gave you extra outs, Yadier Molina had a pass ball. Yadier Molina and Carpenter let a ball drop. Carpenter actually gets eaten up by a ground ball. Ozuna's awful in the outfield. Dexter Fowler makes a bad play, turns into a triple for Ronald Acuna. They had loaded bases, 6th and 7th inning, didn't score a run. Ronald Acuna let off with a triple 1 inning, let off with a double another inning, and didn't score. And for me, the biggest problem has been Max Fried is not going to get a start in this whole thing. And he came out of the bullpen in game 1. I didn't think they let him go long enough. Then he comes out of the bullpen in 3 or 4 games, which means he really couldn't start tomorrow. It was going to be Foltynewicz's game. And then Josh Tomlin in the last game had an opportunity. He gets 4 outs on 10 pitches, and they pull him out in the middle of an inning. He goes an inning and a third, and it's one of those where you go, I'm not really sure why any of this is happening. And a bunch of it has backfired on him. And look, Julio Teheran is the guy who's on the mound when they lose game 4. But I'm not going to blame him. The guy hadn't pitched in 11 days. It was a mismatch at that point. So here we stand. You know, it was probably because of how goofy this whole series has been. It's going to come down to a game 5. Braves are really good close and late. I just hope you have enough arms left to get through this thing one more time.
What worries you most about, besides Flaherty, the Cardinals?
Ozuna woke up. He was terrible in September. You know, you ask people about him, and he's sort of got a little bit of dog in him. You know, if he gets down, he sort of acts like he's down. He plays like he's down. He got a double in game 1 right down the line, and he's standing on second base all hyped up, and I looked at the people I was with, and I just said, that's not a good sign. This guy might have woken up, and then he hits 2 bombs in game 4, and I think that's the best. I'll give him this. They had a chance at a double play in the 10th inning when they lost, but it's him who actually beats it out by half a step. Man on third, one more opportunity, and Yadier Molina comes up big. Yadier Molina is 3-for-16 in this series, and he feels like he's about 12-for-10. He's done nothing all series except help them win game 4, and it just feels like he's a monster. It's Ozuna probably more than anybody else I'm most concerned with.
He's hitting .471 in the postseason in this series so far. It's crazy. So tell me, what is the disaster that's happening with the Falcons?
Yeah. So think about probably the most disappointing an NFL team has been in recent history. Not because I thought they were going to be good. This is one of those where you go, nobody said they were great. But they got outscored 65-10 in the first half of the first 4 games, and then they flipped the script in the last game and got beat up in the second half. So here's all you need to know. Marcus Mariota had a three touchdown first half against them. 3 touchdowns in the first half, hadn't done that in 3.5 years. The next week they scored 10 points. 7 points, I'm lying about that. They scored 7 points the following week. The Houston Texans, who put up 53 against this team, scored 10 against Carolina the week before. Will Fuller looked all world. Somebody is making money. Like, somebody's agent every week is going, God, I hope we play the Falcons. because there is money to be made in this one. Deshaun Watson had the singular, statistically, 5 touchdowns, 400 yards, perfect quarterback rating, no interceptions. He had a 158.3 in that game, and nobody's ever done that in the history of the NFL. He had a game statistically that nobody has ever had in the history of this league against the Atlanta Falcons. It's as big a disaster as it reads at 1-4, and they've earned every bit of a 1-4.
That's crazy. Chris D'Amino from The Fan in Atlanta. How good do you think Trae Young is getting, season to season here, watching the Hawks? I mean, he's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know, they're going to be a cocky upstart team. I don't know how many games they're going to win. I think they're too young. They're going to be the youngest team in the league, with Vince Carter, by the way, on the roster. Trae Young's and John Collins and Trae Young have an opportunity. And I'm going to say this, and boy, I'm nervous because we don't usually get this kind of luck in this town. In 2 years, I think these are going to be the two guys that other guys want to play with. You know, I think in the NBA you have to have two really good players. You hope one of them could pick up a phone and get another guy in here. I don't think they're going to be a postseason team next year. It might be close because they play in the East. But the following year, I think these two guys, plus maybe Reddish and plus maybe what else they've done in the draft with Herter and a couple of other guys, I do think they're going to be able to get the free agent that they want. They're going to have money. They're going to have a ton of money. Matter of fact, they have 2 max contracts available right now. They got $80 million. So I don't know if they're going to get anybody yet, but I think Collins and Young are going to be the two youngest tandem guys in the NBA that people say they want to play with. I can tell you, if you're a guy who fills a wing, if you're a guy who actually can run the floor, these two guys will give you an opportunity to look like a superstar. And somebody's going to make money off of them, but I think they're going to need the veteran to come in 2 seasons to make them a real contender.
Yeah, I think Hunter's a killer defender in college. He was the best in the country. I think it's going to translate into the NBA, and I think Cam Reddish is going to end up being a badass too. That's going to be an exciting team. I wish I was there to see it every night because I used to go to 41 Hawk games a year. I used to love going, even when they sucked, if you remember. But, Chris, great stuff. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight. Good luck tomorrow in Game 5 in Hot Town. It was good seeing you in L.A.
Yeah, good to see you, Scott. Listen, appreciate it. Tell Mike I said hello.
All right, my man. Your boy, Chris D'Amino from The Fan in Atlanta joining us tonight. All right. 855-212-4227. We got a little action going on here in the ninth inning.
Yeah, Astros got a little rally.
Tying
run at the plate. Blake Snell into pitch for the Rays.
You think he'll close the door here and get it done, or do you think they could actually do some damage?
Hoping he closes the door is where I'm at right now.
You wanted to just end and get another game 5. Oh, that's right. You want the Astros to lose and then Thursday.
Well, that would be optimal, but even just playing on Thursday is a win for me.
All right. Coming up, Landry Locker, middays on 610 in Houston. We'll talk to him about the Astros' problems tonight. They're down 4-1 in the ninth right now. Don't forget the podcast of this very show will be on after the show ends on Twitter at OnTheBenchCBS and at Scott Farrell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.